Our scripture reading for this morning comes from the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. That's found on page 1421 in your pew Bibles. Prepare your hearts for God's holy word. And afterward I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. May the Lord give his blessing to the reading and hearing of it.
Amen.
Five, the children join me this morning. Where are you all going?
What is that?
What's happening?
What are they doing?
Oh, okay.
Delivering letters.
Delivering mail. Your bubby? That's pretty cute. We got room for everybody. Slide on in. Slide on in. How's everybody doing today?
Good.
Good. Well, that's all right. Well, we miss them too. It's pretty bad weather out there today, isn't it? Did you guys get wet on your way in? You had a raincoat? Liza got more wet. Oh, no. Oh, no. I didn't have a raincoat, so I got pretty wet this morning, too. But was it windy out there? It's a little bit windy out there. It's been worse, but it was a little breezy. How do you know it was windy? Valid.
There's that.
How do you know it? Your hair was going crazy? That's not the reason my hair's crazy, but it might have helped. What else? Why else do you know that the wind was blowing?
Feel it.
You felt the wind pushing you? Was it pretty strong?
Nice.
You didn't blow over though, did you? No, okay. All right, that's good. It's colder. The wind makes it colder. Oh, yeah? It was blowing you away. The wind was trying to push you over. All right, so the wind makes our hair crazy, the wind tries to push us over, it makes us colder. There's lots of ways that even though we don't see the wind, that we know that the wind is there. Because you guys didn't see any wind. You feel the wind and you... Yeah, exactly. Well, today we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people like to compare the Holy Spirit to the wind, because it does a lot of similar things. The Holy Spirit, we can't see it, and we may not know it's there by our eyes, but we can know when the Holy Spirit's around by the other things that it does in our life. It gives us strength and power to do special things, like the gifts of the Spirit that God gives us. It gives us boldness to proclaim Jesus Christ. It gives us comfort when we're struggling or sad about different things. The Holy Spirit comes and gives us comfort, and it teaches us truth. It does all sorts of different things. And so even though we can't see it, the Holy Spirit is a lot like the wind, because we know it's there when we see the things that it does in our lives. So let's all bow our heads and pray. Well, Father God, we thank you for the gift of your Spirit upon each and every one of us. And we just pray that we can always see the results of your Spirit in our lives and the lives of those around us. All the gifts that the Spirit brings to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. We have snacks after worship for everybody.
But I have to tell you that Gladys Bachman told me a chicken barbecue story last week. So, hold on to your hat, Lois. Just kidding. Well, I guess many years ago, Gladys had adopted a feral cat that was wandering around McKeensburg. Now, she had fed this cat for a pretty long time until pretty much everybody in the neighborhood considered it Edgar and Gladys's cat. Now, Edgar's long gone. Gladys lives in Providence Place now. Okay. Well, she showed up to work the chicken barbecue one spring day, and Dorothy Chinchar said to her, "Gladys, I'm sorry to tell you, but your cat got hit by a car." And Dorothy told her that it was down at the intersection at the end of town. Well, Gladys left the barbecue and went to the corner and shoveled up the kitty, who by now was pretty flat. And she took it home and she buried it in the backyard. Well, Edgar kind of got on her case a little bit and he said, "You know, we're working the chicken barbecue. That cat could have waited till tomorrow, you know, to be buried. But she wanted to give her kitty, you know, she wanted to put her kitty to rest. And so Gladys took care of it because Gladys is very capable." Well, she returned to the chicken barbecue, and she worked the whole chicken barbecue back in the day. That's when it still went to 7 o'clock. She finished up, and then she went home. Well, it was dark, and that evening she heard a meow at the back door. And she went to the back door, and lo and behold, there was her kitty asking for supper. Now, she laughed, and she said that she fed that cat, and then she went and looked at the hole that she had dug to put that flat kitty in to see if it was still there. And she said, "I just thought I had a spirit cat. I wondered if I had a spirit cat." Well, the dead cat was still in the hole, Gladys checked. And the look-alike cat was on her back porch eating food. Well, I asked her if I could share that story, and of course she gave me permission, but she just didn't understand why I would want to. Well, I thought it was kind of a scream. Yeah, and this week's message was about another spirit. Not a dead cat, not a spirit cat, and not a live cat either, but the very Spirit of God that we know is the third person of the Trinity. Now, we pretty much only talk about the Holy Spirit in depth twice a year, New Testament Pentecost and during Advent. And as you remember, Old Testament Pentecost was about the giving of the law, and New Testament Pentecost is about the giving of the Holy Spirit. Well, these past weeks, we have been talking a lot about serving. We've been talking about finding your ministry, finding what your calling, your particular calling is from God, and other things having to do with the Christian life, which, just to be honest, are impossible for us to do in our humanness. You know, we really can't do any of the things that we have been discussing these last weeks by our own force of will. All of the things that God asks us to do and all of the ways that God asks us to live can only be accomplished by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the one who God sent to help us become the person, the unique person that He wants each of us to be. Now, it got me to thinking, since the Holy Spirit is that important, and since it's Reformation Sunday, after all, I love this Sunday, when Luther revived the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church, maybe I just thought, you know, we should give that third person, the Trinity, more attention than a head nod twice a year. Well, did you know that 400 years before Christ, God promised you the gift of the Holy Spirit? Now, the question this morning for all of us is, did you receive Him? Now, Paul asked the Ephesian Christians, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit?" And they answered, "No, we have not even heard that there was a Holy Spirit." And a promise was made by God through the prophet Joel. And the gift was promised to everyone. Now, the translation I use is a little bit different than our Pew Bible. But He promised it to both sexes, your sons and your daughters, to all ages, your old men and your young men, and to all classes of people, even slaves, men servants, and maid servants. And the promise was this: "I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." The gift was received by Jesus when he was baptized on Pentecost. The apostles and 3,000 converts received the Spirit. But what about you and I? Have we received the gift of the Holy Spirit? The gift is intended for each one of us, no matter how insignificant we think we are. The Spirit is not just for prophets. It's not just for holy people. It's not just for elders. It's not just for deacons. It's not just for pastors. It's for all flesh. Every person. So the big question for all of us here this morning is, has God kept his promise in your life by sending you his Holy Spirit? Have you received the gift of the Spirit? Now, if we are asking that question, then we are by default admitting that there is a Holy Spirit and that that Spirit is a gift of God. It's the gracious gift of God, the gracious act of God, and he gives it to us for our good. So if it's a gift, then no one can buy the Spirit. And I know you think that's really, really odd that I said that. You might find it curious that I mentioned that this morning. Who would ever think about trying to buy the Holy Spirit? Well, believe it or not, it's in Scripture. In Acts chapter 8, verse 18, there was a certain sorcerer named Simon. And he saw that the Holy Spirit came upon the Samaritans when Peter and John laid their hands on him. And Simon offered them money. He offered them the gift of money. And I don't know if you remember how this went, but this is how Peter responded to him. Peter was a little ticked off. May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. He was a little upset. But you know what? It seems like sometimes we're still trying to bargain for the Holy Spirit. You know, if I do this, you know. When we know who the Holy Spirit is, we can understand how impossible it is for us to try to bargain in any way, no matter how great our wealth or no matter how many good deeds we do. It just doesn't work that way. The Spirit is the third person in the Trinity, and he's referred to as personal pronouns in Scripture, so we're completely accurate when we call the Holy Spirit he, even though occasionally the pronouns are female. The Spirit is God. When God gives his Spirit, he is giving himself. To have the Holy Spirit is to have God. The Spirit is God in the present tense, here and now, in my life and in your life. So, okay, we get it. The Spirit is a gift from God alone. When we receive the Holy Spirit into our hearts and lives, God becomes incarnate in us. Think about this. In a very similar way that he was incarnate in Jesus, the Word become flesh. That's a big deal. A true Christian can honestly say, I have the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's received in different ways, at different times. The gift was, it can be received at a believer's baptism. When Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan, the Spirit came to him in the form of a dove. The Spirit can come to us when the Word of God is proclaimed over us, because the Word and the Spirit of God are a package deal. The Spirit comes and causes us to be born again as new creatures in Christ. And another time, the Spirit can come to us on our confirmation. If we were baptized as infants, we need to be confirmed because we need to claim Christ as our own after we reach the age of accountability. And that's when, you know, you humbly kneel at the altar and the pastor lays on hands and the prayers come with the increase in them, the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's a recreation of Peter and John laying their hands on people to receive the Holy Spirit. Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, renew and increase in them the gift of your Holy Spirit. Now, when we get to considering the Holy Spirit, it becomes evident that it isn't a once-and-done affair. We get confused. The gift keeps coming. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Every time we interact with the Word of God, or we pray for a new anointing, or we humbly receive communion, since the Word contains the Holy Spirit, when we consider and fervently read the Word of God, we just get another shot of the Holy Spirit. Just like when you pick up a wet sponge, your hand gets wet. Now, if these are some of the ways and times that God fulfills his promise of the Spirit, then it would be logical to just assume that yes, indeed, the Spirit has come to all flesh, right? But we know that everybody doesn't have the Holy Spirit. We know that every Christian doesn't have the Holy Spirit. And how can that be? If we've been baptized, confirmed, read scripture, pray fervently, and attend worship, how can that be? The answer is this. A gift offered is not necessarily a gift received. You know, we may have gone through the ritual of baptism. We may have gone through the ritual of confirmation. We may read scripture. We may fervently pray. We may attend worship regularly enough. But we only receive the Holy Spirit when we are willing to receive Him. If as Peter said in Acts 8, our hearts are right with God, we forget something about God. He will not tread on our toes. The Holy Spirit will not come where He is not welcome. Stephen said it to the religious leaders of his day. You can resist the Holy Spirit. We can choose to refuse the Holy Spirit to enter our lives and take control of us. And if we do not consciously invite Him in, you know, He will not go where He is not welcome. And you know, we may even get to the point where we feel like we don't even want the Spirit. You know, we don't need the Spirit. You know, some of us can feel so complacent in life that we're just not interested in the Holy Spirit anymore. I mean, you know, some of us might think, I'm doing very well on my own. Thank you very much. Let the Holy Spirit for some other schlep who needs some help. You know, we might really think that. Now, for those who fall into that category, we have not received that promised gift. Now, this Reformation Sunday would be the perfect day to fix that. The perfect day to get the gift. Because Luther was all about the Holy Spirit. As Christians, whether you know it or not, we are all in desperate, desperate need of the Holy Spirit. Or the world is going to continue to chew us up and spit us out because that's the way it works. So do you know if you have the Spirit? Are you dead certain that you have the Spirit? There are a lot of Christians that don't, well, if they give it any thought at all, they just don't think about, you know, they just don't know. You know, what they don't know if they have that gift. And maybe your doubt is based on your misunderstanding of what it is to have and get the Spirit. Assembly of God Christians, God bless them, they teach that you have to talk in tongues to prove that you have the Holy Spirit. You have to do that to belong to the church. And that for sure is one of the gifts, don't get me wrong, but it isn't the only one, and nobody gets them all. Now, the Spirit could give you the gift of tongues. It's really kind of His choice, right? But it isn't a litmus test for if you have the Holy Spirit or not. You can feel the Holy Spirit, though. And usually, and I say that with a caveat, usually you can feel it when others have Him too. Now maybe you doubt whether you have the Spirit because you never had any kind of an intense emotional experience. But maybe, just maybe, you don't have the Spirit because you never specifically invited the Spirit to take control of your life. And there's a lot of us walking around like that. Most time the Spirit comes calmly, easily, in an orderly fashion. He comes to us when we have open minds and open hearts and we hear God calling us. We take down all of the caveats for our own lives and we go, okay, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, speak. Your servant is listening. Take control of me, Holy Spirit. That's kind of how it goes. But the fact remains that you may not have the awareness of the Spirit in your life because He isn't there. That happens too. And you and I might have received Him at one time, but then we allowed Him to kind of fade away, because to receive the Spirit once does not guarantee that you will have Him forever. Because as the Spirit comes, He can go. And that's why in Psalm 51, David prays, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Now, it's said of Samson, you know, that Bible's big, strong guy, that the Spirit left him and he didn't know it. He wasn't paying attention. And so consequently, he became very weak and unable to break away from his enemies. Because the Spirit can come and go. When He goes, unfortunately, He leaves us open to be possessed or oppressed by some other spirit. And we know how that goes. We've talked about that enough. And that spirit, though, is driven out when he is replaced by the Holy Spirit. Now, maybe you and I have the Spirit, and we don't know it. How can we know? What evidence can we point to assure that the gift is ours? Well, the Spirit in us will produce fruit in us. According to Paul, one of the fruits is love. So think about this. Do you love God? Do you love people, even the cranky, unlovable ones? That's a real test, I'll tell you, because those cranky, unlovable people, that's got to be God, amen? Love is of God, and to love unconditionally means that God, the Holy Spirit, is in you, and we can take a lot of lessons for our dogs about that. Now, other fruits of the Spirit, recorded in Galatians, are these, along with love: joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and I love the last one, self-control, because I always struggled with that one. So, are these virtues evident in your life? Are they evident in your, you know, you can do like a check, you know, self-check. And if they are, then those are manifested by the Holy Spirit. Now, further evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life is found in the gifts given by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 lists 9 miraculous gifts of the Spirit. I don't know these by heart. I gotta look them up. Okay, wisdom, knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. The discernment, distinguishing between spirits, that's an important one in the world in which we live, because a lot of stuff sounds good and it's straight out of the pit. In Romans 12, there are 7 more. Prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, mercy. And there are others listed at other places in Scripture, and some are even repeated. But the gifts of the spirits are to continue to work through blood-bought, redeemed believers of Christ until his return. Now, no Christian, don't think you're going to somehow glom them all up, because no Christian has them all. That's how come we need each other, because we're all in this together. Because together we make a complete package, you see. But we all have at least one, mostly 2, sometimes 3, and they can change as you get older. You may not have the gift of healing. I mean, I don't know. You may not have the gift of performing miracles. You may not have the gift of speaking in tongues or interpreting tongues. But all Christians manifest something, like wisdom or faith or teaching or mercy. And there's even hospitality. You know, some people, you know the ones, don't you? They're just really good at something godly. We're all gifted in some way. And when we have a sense of what that gift is, then that's the Holy Spirit doing that work within us. Another way of testing whether we have the Spirit is by the church. I know you think this is my job, but listen to what I say. Think about this. Are you a faithful member of a church? Do you feel like you absolutely have to be in worship each week? Are you a part of the life of the church? Because your connection to a church shows that you have the Holy Spirit. Now, bear with me. Individuals with the Holy Spirit find that they must gather with other Christians frequently to feed their souls. It's just not an option. Just like you have to eat on a regular basis to feed your body, the Holy Spirit draws us like a magnet, because we are all bound together as a church family, and we need to be with each other because our souls need to be fed, just like our bodies need to be fed with food. So let's just suppose that you don't have the slightest interest in God's promise of the Holy Spirit, okay? You might ask, why would I even want this Spirit? What good will it do me to have this Spirit? Well, the answer, in a nutshell, is this. To live without the Holy Spirit is to live without God. To live without God in you makes life a drag and a misery and a bore. To have God in you is to live with enthusiasm, you know, even in the midst of the chaos. To have God in you is just more fun. Do you know that the Greek word for enthusiasm is where it is, means in God. I mean, I just think they just were onto something, you know? With the Spirit in you, you're an upbeat person. You talk to somebody who is death and destruction all the time, that is not a person with the Holy Spirit. They are not enthused about life. They are not enthused about God. The Holy Spirit is not in them. Now, in our text, Joel gives us a more specific answer to the question that I just raised. Joel says that when the Spirit is poured out on all flesh, our children will prophesy. Now, to prophesy is to witness and proclaim. Because you know what? With the Spirit, we just love to tell the story. Now, before his ascension, Jesus declared that when the Spirit came, the disciples would be given power to witness. And Pentecost AD 30, I mean, that was a tongue affair, okay? Luke records, the disciples were speaking in tongues and utterance. They began to witness in foreign languages. The Spirit was described as tongues of fire. As Christians, we just have this great story to tell about being freed from the bondage of self and the bondage of sin and the bondage of all the garbage we've been carrying around on our backs forever. And we can be free from that. And you know, we have such good news. I just don't get this. God grant us eternal life. What a tragedy it is when we keep that to ourselves. I mean, what are we thinking? Like, is this not the best thing that we know in our lives, no matter how intelligent people we are? This is like the best thing we know. And we keep this to ourselves. I think that is like the epitome of selfishness. I just don't get it. Do you know that they did this, I looked this up. They did a recent study of an average Protestant congregation in America. 95% of our members said they make no attempt to witness to the gospel. Seriously? 95%? Are you kidding me? The church of today, widely, has no interest in casting any nets. Let them all go to hell. I know where I'm going. I mean, isn't that just how our culture is? All wrapped up in ourselves? You know? The Holy Spirit motivates us to share the good news by telling everyone who listens. You ever talk to somebody and you get that little voice in your head saying, you know, you ought to ask them where they go to church. You ought to talk to them about God, and then you smash it back down so that you don't have to do that. Have you ever done that? I know I have. If we were all doing as the Spirit leads, every church in America would be filled to overflowing, and this country would not be going to hell in a handbasket. Now, Joel adds another reason for wanting the Spirit. Your old men will dream dreams. Now, the old men dream dreams of the future because they have lived long enough to know what the world needs. The Spirit causes us old people to dream of a better world, and boy, do we need one. Now, Joel continues with another reason for wanting the Holy Spirit. Your young men will see visions. Well, I mean, a fresh perspective is a recipe for revival. And the Spirit gives the ability to see what ordinary eyes cannot see. This just brings to mind our confirmation class. I've been doing the same confirmation thing for 30 years. Never even occurred to me to get a different curriculum, even though I do everything else different. Mark starts teaching confirmation, and suddenly they have a new and cool confirmation, you know, curriculum. I was like, well, isn't that special? Now the confirmands are happy to do a confirmation. You should have seen it when Wade and I were doing it. I mean, it was like you needed a block and tackle to get him in that room. I mean, they were begging their parents to not go to confirmation. Now it's fun and games. I don't know if it's the donuts and the coffee. I don't know. But I do know they have a new kick and workbook. Didn't even think about it. Just didn't come to my mind. You know, because this is what I do. Been doing it for over 30 years. I'm doing it, you know. This is how I do it. Good stuff, right? I don't have big glossy pages, you know, didn't have big glossy pages, but I digress. Anyway, Jesus promised that the Spirit would guide us to truth because he is the Spirit of revelation and insight. Who of us, I'm not really asking for a hand, for you to raise your hand, but who of us in this room does not need the Spirit to give us insight into the meaning of life? I mean, are we going through all this garbage for nothing? I remember the popular question asked in 1965, why is there air? The answer was to blow up basketballs. Well, our questions today are far more weighty than that. What is the meaning of this day-to-day existence? Why do I bother to get up in the morning? What is the point of struggling to make a living and coping with the stresses that come my way? Why should I even have to put up with all of this pain and all of life's problems? I mean, like, why? If only we had a vision, the ability to see further than today. And that's what the Holy Spirit gives us. If only we could see that Jesus Christ is the answer to all of our problems. And only the Holy Spirit can give us that kind of vision. And it says in Scripture, without vision, without hope, the people perish. And we can see that enough outside of these walls. Now, we may have the Spirit, but we still need to be filled with Him, because we can never get enough of the Holy Spirit. Today is a good day. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, in agreement in our hearts, we all say it. Send your Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your faithful. We are ready. We are willing. Amen. Amen and amen. Please stand for the benediction. I don't know, Lois. Lois, was there anything that you, that the congregation is getting from the chicken barbecue after worship today?
Yeah.
Just a second, Brett. What? Just the pepper cabbage and the applesauce? Okay. All right. You heard her. Okay, you heard her. Soup Kitchen isn't coming up this... November 5th is Soup Kitchen. And now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us that which is pleasing to Him. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.